to show the Shiva that are here. To show the family that's here. Just one or two words of introduction. I myself was not zochet to sit in Rav Braunschweigel's shir. When I was in yeshiva, Rav Braunschweigel was definitely a large force in the yeshiva. A Rosh Yeshiva here for close to 30 years. He was a beloved Rebbe, someone who impacted the lives of all of his Talmidim, thousands and thousands of Talmidim. One unique thing that came to my mind in terms of Rabbi Braunschweigel's influence and his unique place in our yeshiva is while our yeshiva for many, many years had Rosh Yeshiva Rebbeim who came from other shores, who came from Europe, who taught in our yeshiva, who connected to the Talmidim of our yeshiva, for many of them, their first language and their first culture was not necessarily connected to a typical 19 or 20-year-old American student of our yeshiva. And while they were great gedolim, and the Talmidim learned from them tremendously, there may have been a little bit of a harder time for the Talmidim to connect with them in a very personal way, in a regashi way. And Rav Braunschweigel, while he was a survivor of the Holocaust, he was a young adult as he came to these shores, and being able to connect to the Talmidim in a way that they could relate to a Rebbe that they could understand in many, many different ways, not just from the Shiurim, but to understand him as a person, and for someone who really was able to connect with Talmidim in a very, very deep way, at the same time, maintaining the deep, deep connections of the Mesorah that he brought with him, the Mesorah that he grew up with, the Mesorah that was completely who he was able to bring that bridge to a Talmidim in a way that they felt every time that they walked into Shir, they were being part of that Mesorah, that very, very special legacy. We're here tonight to hear words from family members, from Rabbi Akiva Wiener, a 12th grade Rebbe in Yeshiva Shara Torah, and to hear as well from our Mashkiach, from Rabbi Blau, and also from one of his Talmidim, representing the Talmidim of Rabbi Pesach Mendelssohn. Rabbi Wiener.
Firstly, I would like to thank Yeshiva for arranging this Haskara. Zeich Nishmas, my Shver Zechrein Levracha. I hope that the words that are said today will be a source of inspiration for everyone to be Oyla in their Ruchnias, and that should be a Schos Lili Nishmasai. My Shver, Zechrona Livracha, experienced two amazing tkufos in this yeshiva. Amazingly successful tkufos. A tkufa of lilmoid and a tkufa of lilamid. And each one of those tkufos was with exceptional hatzlacha, beyond really the comprehension of how it could be such amazing hatzlacha. He came as a teenager, an ud mutzel me'esh, a survivor of the Holocaust, at a young age in the concentration camps. He came to the yeshiva a few years after he arrived on these shores with only a couple of years of experience of learning. And within a short time, he developed into a Talmud Chacham Muflik. Something out of the ordinary, something amazing in the way he grew. And then, He was nismana to be a Maggid Shir, and later a Yeshiva, And he experienced a tremendous Hatzlacha in our Batis HaTorah. In the quantity of how many Talmidim he was Mashbion, and in the quality of his Habatis HaTorah. And was, as was mentioned, it really was a Pella, because he came from a different culture. He wasn't born in America, and he wasn't really an American in his personality, in his Hashkafa. And yet he was able to relate and to have Talmidim who lived their lives as lifelong Talmidim, and everything, every tkufa of their life, everything they did in their life, whether it was getting married, with raising a family, raising their children, everything was what was discussing with Rebbe. And it wasn't that he was an imposing figure. He was far from an imposing figure. What was the soyd to his hatzlacha? What was the soyd to his hatzlacha in his own personal growth as a Talmud Chacham? And what was the soyd to his hatzlacha as such a tremendous Marbitz Torah, and having such a great influence in not just being Maimit Talmidim, but transforming Talmidim? Transforming a Talmud that walked into a shir was transformed. They didn't stay there for 1 year, they stayed many for many years, and they were Talmidim for life. What was the key to his success? So I want to first discuss the first kufa and the what he experienced in his first kufa in the yeshiva. He came as a youngster, and he first learned by Rav Gerelik, Zichron Levracha. And he was koine from Gerelik, Rav Gerelik, a hadracha of what it means to be a ben Torah, what it means to be loyal to Torah values, what it means mesira. And he started developing a way to learn a pasugya. And he was dovik with Rav Gerelik. He didn't only have a shaykh with Rav Gerelik within the Koisli Beis HaMedrash. He was mamish, became a ben bayis by him. Shabbosim he spent by him, because he was mistabik berabosav. He wanted to learn not only from the Torah but from the drachim. And then the next kufa, he came to Rav Soloveitchik, Zichron Levracha Shir, and he was enthralled by the learning by Rav Soloveitchik. He was the depth of the learning, the way he developed the sugya. He was so besimcha. He saw the simchas haTorah, and the Torah became so alive to him, so exciting to him. And his whole life, he would always say that wherever he was, wherever he learned, wherever he would set a shir, he would always say over the Torah of his Rebbe, of Rav Soloveitchik, with the greatest kavod and the greatest simcha, the greatest geshmak. And he gave it over. He gave over that great simcha of simchas haTorah that he was makabel from his Rebbe. He gave it over to his talmidim. The side of his hatzlach in learning, and I think it's very important for all of us to implement, is that he was a Talmud. He lived as a Talmud his whole life. He lived with the lessons that he was makabel from Rabbeisav. He lived when he was a Talmud. He was totally dedicated, total hispatlis to his Rebbeim. The way he shteig in such a way to become such a Talmud Chacham in a short period of time is avada. He had tremendous asmada, without a doubt. But that wasn't the whole story. It was a tremendous bittul to his Rebbeim. He was misdabik b'rabbeisav. Every word that they said meant everything to him. It meant everything is hadrach and how to live his life and how to develop in his learning and how to give over from his learning. In the next kufa of his life, as a Rebbe, as a Rosh Yeshiva, he was zeicha to a tremendous hatzlach and being maimed talmidim. And I believe that hatzlach is also due to the same midah that he had. I saw recently B'shem Rav Nachum Partzovitz, Zichron Levracha, Pasuk says in Mishlei, Ish Shemeya Yidaber Lenetzach. Many different pshatim in the Rishonim what this means. One of the possibilities suggested is the following. Ish Shemeya, a person that is Shemeya, he's a Makabel. He listens. He's Makabel from his Rebbeim. He listens to Rebbeim. He learns from his Rebbeim. He soaks up every word from his Rebbeim. He's a Shemeya, Ish Shemeya. Yidaber Lenetzach. His words will be always heard and be accepted. This is Rabbi Nachum said that the people that were zeiche to be the Matikei Hashmua, the people that were zeiche to be able to be the Moisri HaTorah, to have a tremendous hashpah on their Talmidim, and to be maimed Talmidim and be part of the Mesiris HaTorah, with those Talmidei Chachamim that as when they were learning, they were Makablim. If they were Makablim, then they were zeiche that they were Yidaber Lenetzach. Their words will last forever. And I believe that this is not only in an oifen schooly, because it's a schus, but it's practical. If anyone would meet my Shver Zechren El Vracha within a half an hour talking to him, he would know who he learned by, and he would have heard already a Shtikl Torah from Rabbi Gorelick and a Shtikl Torah from Rabbi Yoshe Ben, without a doubt. And he would understand the Hajracha that he got from him. If a Talmud hears from his Rebbe, that dedication, that Talmud for life that he is, Memela, he understands that's what a Rebbe means. And that's what my Rebbe is going to be to me. And that's why he had such a tremendous impact on the lives of his Talmidim. But there's another point that I want to bring out, and that is, that besides having the great Rebbeim that he had here, and being a Talmud of those Rebbeim, he was also a Talmud, he was Metalmid of Shal Avram Avinu. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos and Perikei tells us that Kol mi sheyesh lo shloish dvarim halalu is Metalmid of Shal Avram Avinu. Ayin toiva v'ruach nemucha v'nefesh shvala. Someone has those midas, he's a Talmud of Avram Avinu. My Shver Zechren El Vracha had those midas in a very strong way. I just want to say a few things about this, and I think it's important, something that we could learn from. What does it mean, Ayin Toiva? The Mishnah says one of the drachot is Ayin Toiva. What does it mean, Ayin Toiva? Rabbeinu Yonah says Ayin Toiva is Nedivus. Generosity of heart. Avram Avinu was the biggest example of Nedivus, how he did chesed. My Shver Zechren Avracha was b'mloy muvan amila, the mida of Nedivus was front and center. But not only, he was an unbelievable Baal Chesed, tremendous Baal Chesed. His Hachnosas Orchim was legendary. When I first got married around 38 years ago, I once happened to be in Borough Park for something, and I came to visit. I knocked on the door, and a Yerushalmi Yid answered the door. And he invited me in. He said, maybe you're hungry, maybe you want something to eat. And I said, wait a second, I thought this was the Braunschweiger residence. And it was. And this was a Yid that they had in their home. They had people in their home for weeks, sometimes months. And they were Mekayim, what Rabbeinu Yonah says in Pirkei Avos, the Aniyim B'nei Veisecha, that the Aniyim should feel so comfortable in your home, it's like their own house. The people that stayed in the house felt so comfortable, they could invite someone in and offer him what to eat. That was the type of Anach Chachnosis Orchim. He had such a midah of Nediv Leif. He was such a mate, he had B'teva, he was a native. I'll tell you another story. I don't know it from him. I never would have heard it from him. But I know it from the Makabel of this chesed. There was my Shver met a Yid in the street in Bar Park, a young man. He said hello to him. He told him he just moved into the neighborhood. And he told him he just bought a house a couple of blocks away. The next day, my shver was knocking on his door. And my shver was not a rich man. And this was a long time ago. And he said, he gave him $2,000. He said, you're just a younger man, you just bought a house, you probably had a half chayvus. Here's $2,000. When you get a chance to pay it back, you'll pay it back. That was money that wasn't extra money laying around. That was money he was a mativ. He wanted to be mativ. He was a chafetz chesed. But his nedivus didn't stop there. His nedivus was, it's legendary how he was misameach with his talmidim and with others by their simchas. Ad klois nefesh. You know, I once went with him to a chasen in Toronto and he was dancing till he was about to pass out and people were getting nervous. I said, don't worry, if he stops doing this, then I will be nervous. This is normal. He was so mustered to somebody else. The Divas Alev, he was coolly about what he could give to the other person. But Nediv Libay also came out in his learning, in his Hashbatas HaTorah. I witnessed him saying shiurim to all different types of people. Whenever he got a chance to learn with someone, whenever it was an opportunity to learn with somebody, he grabbed it. He could be marbitz mo Torah. He gave shiurim in the shul, he gave shiurim into the talmidim in the yeshiva, he gave shiurim in the bungalow colony. Every shiur was tailor-made to the audience, what they needed. Not what he needed, what he wanted to, what his Torah he wanted to say. What they needed, what they could shtayg the most from, what they will enjoy the most. That was his nedivas libay in his learning also. And that's why he was so successful in his habatas Torah. Because it wasn't about him, it was about the shayman. One more nekuda. The Mishnah says, weiter, ruach nemucha v'nefesh shvala. What does it mean, ruach nemucha v'nefesh shvala? Zok te pirish ha-meyuchas l'rashi, ruach nemucha, onav v'shval berach. It's an onav. V'nefesh shvala, shemashmul atzvoy ben anoshim, u'me'urav b'neim v'ene gas ruach. He lowers himself amongst people, he mixes with them, and he's not a gas ruach. It sounds repetitious. Ruach nemucha, he's onav v'shval berach. Ruach nefesh shvala, he's mashbal atzmai umurub b'neim ene gas ruach. He's not a balgaim. What are the two things here? So I'll say over a story that I heard from my shver zechrein levracha. And this I think gives us a pshat what Rashi means, and it gives us an insight into what the midah of anivus that my shver possessed. He told me over a story that once Rabbi Yonis Naipshitz, Zecharen Levracha, was stuck in a place. He was not home, and he was stuck in a place for Yom Kippur. And he was very nervous. Doesn't know if there's any Choshev Yidin there, any Erlich Yidin. Erev Yom Kippur, he's in the shul after davening. He hears somebody in the corner crying, Anoichi Ofa Ve'efer, I'm a nobody. Yonis Naipshitz was... He'll be with a Choshev Yid. The next day, he was in Shul Yom Kippur. This Yid got Revi. Someone else got Shlishi. Ooh, did he get angry? He said to the Gabi on the spot, the chutzpah you gave him, Shlishi gave me Revi. So Rabbi Yonis Naipshitz didn't know what was going on. This was the honor. This was the Noichi Ofer Ve'efer guy from yesterday. What happened? So he went over to him and said, Revi, I don't understand. Yesterday you were mamish, I was so happy, you're honored. Today you got revi on your kippah, ganz fine. So he says, what's the kasha? Yesterday when you heard me, I was talking to Rabbeinu Shloilam. But that guy, I'm much more chashiv than him. That's what Dosh state in Rabbeinu Yoina, Dosh state in the Rashi. Ruach Nemuch is the honor of Shval Berach. It's a madrega. Not everybody, even with people that are greater than them, hold themselves banivis. Or benefesh shval is zok to Rashi, shemashpil atzvei ben anoshim umurev b'neiim v'enegas ruach. That means even with pashita people, with people that he's greater than, he doesn't act, he doesn't wear it, he doesn't act like that. He's a onav, he's mashpil atzvei, he lowers himself amongst the people that they shouldn't feel, that he feels he's better than them. One of the most endearing features of my shver zechrein levracha, which made him so endeared by his Talmidim and able that he should be mashpia on them so strongly is his tremendous humility, his tremendous anova. There was no, he never made anything, he would always do, make jokes about himself. He never, even amongst the Talmidim, there wasn't about guy, but it wasn't about him b'chlal. And that mida was essential in his being able to give over to his Talmidim. So if we could learn up from his wonderful drachim, Talmidei HaYeshiva, if we could realize the Hatzlocha in Liman HaTorah, Hatzlocha in Liman HaTorah, Hatzlocha in Harbotas HaTorah, comes from how much a Talmud becomes a Talmud, how much he's mevatel himself to his Rebbeim, how much he's willing to accept and learn and follow in the footsteps and implement the lessons that his Rebbeim teaching him to his life. And the midas, how a person has to give from themselves to be a nidiv liboy, to be menadiv from their moment, to be menadiv from themselves for others, and to be mashpul atzmi ben anoshim, and it should be a schus for my shver zechrein levracha if we learn from his ways, yizich rebaruch.
I was a contemporary in yeshiva with Rav Braunschweiger. And I'm going to speak about a very long time ago and the emergence of a major Talmud Chacham in Rosh Yeshiva that I don't think anyone could have imagined when we were young boys in the yeshiva. I have to speak a little bit about the background of the yeshiva at the time to give you a context. The Rebbeim in the yeshiva were Gdolei Torah, from the Mitzuyonim in the great yeshivas of Europe. After the war, those who survived, they came before the war, or survived. There were great Talmidei Chachamim and very few yeshivas. So the yeshiva was able to pick Mitzuyonim Sheba Mitzuyonim. And overwhelmingly, we were American boys. Most of us had gone to yeshiva's own high schools. And we were in a different world from the Rosh Yeshiva, couldn't conceive of ever being like them. It was beyond comprehension. Rabbi Braunschweiger came to yeshiva from Tor Vadas, from the Bronx, which is how he was in Tor Vadas and from the Bronx. I don't know the story. Tor Vadas was in Williamsburg. We knew that he was a survivor, but we didn't know anything else. He didn't talk about it. He never spoke about himself. He was quiet. He was very small. Could be from malnutrition from the war, but Matthias was, he was very small, very thin, and somewhat different. But quiet, obviously very, very smart. We were in Rav Gorelick's shir together in 1955. As Rabbi Wiener mentioned, Rabbi Braunschweiger's connection with Rav Gorelick was not just the shir. He was close to him from the Bronx, from the shul, Rav Gorelick's shul in the Bronx, from Rav Gorelick's house. And he was a real Talmud of Rav Gorelick. Though, again, you wouldn't have made the connection. Rav Gorelick was fire. He was the kanoi in the yeshiva. He was sharp as sharp can be. You didn't want to have to get there on his bad side. And Rabbi Braunschweiger was very soft-spoken. He was also a Talmud of the Rav. I was reading a hesped that he gave of the Rav just a few minutes ago. And he mentioned the first shiur in Maseches Sanhedrin, which made a tremendous mark upon him and all the rest of us. Again, the background. The Rav was giving shiur for smicha students. There were some students still in college who were advanced and wanted to go into the Rav's shiur. But the Rav was going to say shiur in Yoredeya. And the administration was concerned, you'll let boys at 18, 19 go into Yoredeya shiur, they're going to ask for smicha already. We're not going to let any of them in the shiur. So there was a decision, no college students in the shiur. The Rav realized it by himself that it wasn't a wise decision, so he decided to say a second shiur in Sanhedrin. And in this shiur was only the younger boys, the ones of college age. A few of us had been in the shiur before. I had been in the shiur just for a couple of months. And almost everybody was totally new. And the first shiur blew everybody completely. The Rav asked what seemed to be a simple question on the Rashi and the first Mishnah and the definition of a goslin, and he wasn't satisfied with the answers. And the Rav communicated in that very first shiur that you have to read a Rashi carefully. Your answer had to be precise, not more or less. And then Rav, when the shiur was finished, you felt like you had never learned anything properly before in your life. Because when the Rav explained it, somehow, not only did it make sense, but nothing else made sense. It had to be that way. Rabbi Braunschweiger wrote about this when he went in his hesped for the Rav, because it was part of how he taught when he became a Rebbe in Yeshiva. He was obviously very capable. He spoke at Achag HaSmicha and was an integral part of the Kollel that was founded. Yeshiva had an earlier kollel, but this kollel was founded in 1961, led by Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichrono Livracha, the Rav's son-in-law. Very small kollel. I think there were seven of us in the beginning. And he was one of the key figures. He had a very close chevrusa, who became a Rebbe in MTA for 40 years, Rabbi Yagid. I think they remained close throughout their lives. And then the question was, well, what's going to be? This European fellow, what is he going to do? How's he going to make a living? Where's he going to function? He became a Rebbe in the high school. Yeshiva picked him to be a Rebbe in the high school. A Rebbe in MTA. He's 5'2", maybe, 120 pounds. These big high school kids, they're going to eat him up for breakfast. Never happened. Never had any problem controlling the shiur in the high school and then going on to the Beis Medrash. Who is he going to marry? American girl. The story that was told, and I can't tell you that it's definitely true, but I heard it at the time. So it's not a story from later on, that there was a Jewish conductor on the subway, and he saw this young Jewish man always looking in Jewish books. He didn't know what the Jewish books were. He saw him always looking in Jewish books. And there was a young woman who came on the subway a lot. She also was always looking in Jewish books. So he said, I'm going to introduce them to each other. His Eish Yischael, his first wife, who unfortunately passed away young, we worry about who he's going to marry. She was an extraordinary young woman. And also Grace Miuchesses, the daughter of Rav Munk of Paris, the author of The World of Prayer, a book that many people use now to understand tefillah. What was his success as a Rebbe? His success, I have a slightly different recollection. Remember what he had learned from the Rav, what he got from the Rav, and everybody got his own chelek, was precision. Start with Rashi and Tosfos. He didn't come and say Brisket Torah and Rambams. The end of the Shia came some Torah, but the Shia was Shavu'ah Kol Nefesh, because you learned how to read a Rashi and a Tosfos. And if somebody in the Shia didn't understand the Chiddush at the end, so we got 95% of the Shia. And a person who did understand the Torah, so he got an extra. So the Shia was for all people. And he was there for his Talmidim, in Shia, in the Beis Medrash, in his shul in Borough Park, everywhere. I'll end just with a story about a boy that I had some kesher in his coming to yeshiva from public high school. That's not critical. He came to yeshiva and he started off in the old JSS. And in a couple of years, he came to Rabbi Braunschweig Shir. And the boy knew what he didn't know, which is a big mile. And he would come to me at night in the Beis Medrash, checking every word. And if I said something, he would tell me, but Rabbi Braunschweigel translated the word differently, right? But Rabbi Braunschweigel had infinite patience. He'd go back to him the next day to be sure, you translated it this way. Night in the Beis Medrash, Rabbi said it's slightly different. Rabbi Braunschweigel, of course, would not correct someone else, but he would spend all the time patiently with someone who struggled over words. I will tell you, at the end of his years with Rabbi Braunschweigel, that young man knew how to learn. He knew how to learn a Gemara Rashi Tosafot, because that was the kind of Rebbe that he was. I don't want to take any more time, because Rabbi Mendelssohn was a really close Talmud, and it's a different perspective, so I'll stop here.
Yeshiva who have come, the Rabbanim from near and far, Talmidim, V'kol HaKol HaKadosh HaZeh. My name is Baruch Pesach Mendelssohn, and I'm honored to be called the Talmid of Rav HaGon Rav Abba Braunschweigel Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I am a high school rabbi. I'm into props. These are my notes of Maseches Sanhedrin. It was the last year I was in the shir, in front of the notebook. I used to pester him so much that somebody got a picture, which you can't see from the distance, of my speaking and learning with him in the Beis Medrash during the Chanukah Chagiga. In 1988, ended up on the front page of one of the student newspapers here. They were doing something about Rebbe-Talmud relationships. I treasure that picture. It's amazing to think that Rabbi Branspiegel was younger in this picture than I am now. In the construction of the Mishkan, Klal Yisrael brought Zohav, Kesef, and Nechoshes. The Medrash says that the Zohav was symbolic of Avram, the Kesef of Yitzchak, and the Nechoshes of Yaakov. Why would the Bechir HaAvos, Yaakov, be represented by the cheapest metal? The answer is that gold and silver have a natural sparkle. Nechoshes, copper, only sparkles when it's polished. Yaakov, the Ish Tom, Yoshev Oholim, represents Torah. Talmud Torah takes our effort and our polish. Rav Branspiegel was born in Moshitz to Ger Hasidim in 1938, and his childhood was Gehenna Mamish, being in concentration camps. You can listen to the audio tapes of it. Surviving by Nisim Guluyim with his parents, but losing some of his siblings, he realized that Hashem saved him for a purpose: to learn and to teach Torah. Arriving in America at age 9 and knowing only alephbeis, he grew, as we heard, into a big Talmud Chacham, and to teach Torah to thousands of Talmidim. In essence, he polished himself, and then he sparkled. My parents sent me here to Yeshiva to learn by my mother's uncle, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, while attending college. But I was 16 years old. I was not ready for Rav Aaron's shir. So I asked him, whose shir should I go to? Rav Aaron said, go to Rav Branspiegel. He's the best Rebbe. He's always here at 9:30, taking a subway from Borough Park. Back then, apparently, most of the Rosh Yeshiva came in later, shiurim at 1 o'clock. What makes someone the best Rebbe? Chazal say, Im harav domer l'malach Hashem tzvakos Torah yivaksh mipiyu. How can a person be like a malach? Rav Beryl Soloveitchik, the oldest son of Briskarov, said, a malach has one mission. A Rebbe who has one mission, to teach Talmidim, is the person you make your Rebbe. It was his life's mission to teach Talmidim, and his dedication to doing so is clear to see. He came 9:30 every morning to the old Beis Medrash, but he didn't sit down and learn. He made appointments and he called over Talmidim to sit with him by the front chairs to talk to them. And because of that, he knew the name of every Talmud. He knew where each Talmud lived, whose shul his parents davened at, what his major was in college, and so on. Without notes, and with 80 to 100 people in the shir most years in room 103, the annex, across from the Beis Medrash. That's incredible. There were years that he slept over in yeshiva on Tuesday nights in order to be able to talk and learning with the Talmidim at night Seder. As Reb Blau said, he wanted everyone to understand the shir, and therefore he concentrated on the Pashat Pshat. Now, he was a lamed in Otzum. Just read the Bikurei Abba, I also went to his Yerushalmi shiur on Sunday afternoons, his Menachas Chinuch shiur on Tuesday mornings. It was clear how well he knew how to learn. But in shiur, the blot shiur, he read and translated every line of the Gemara, every single Rashi, step by step in the Tosfos. And then, I have the evidence here, 400 pages of it, he would learn a Ran inside, he would learn a Rosh, a Rashba on the Sugya. If there was a famous Ksos or a famous Rebbe Kiva Eger or a Rebbe Chaim or something he heard from of Yashaber, he would say it over. But then, usually that took 2 days. The third day in the Sugya, you could forget about the Gemara. He opened up his Rambam. He loved learning the Rambam. He loved making diyukim in the Rambam. And he would learn the Kesef Mishnah, the Magen Mishnah, the Lecha Mishnah. He rarely said his own Lamda Shavar to explain something. And in that way, we did approximately a blot a week, 30 blot over the whole year. He didn't try to say mountains of chidushim or anything that was too complicated. And because of that, his delivery was crystal clear. He wanted the Talmidim to understand because that was his mission. And then he would say, I have nothing to add to this. And he would go on. Or sometimes he would say, Akasha, and then look at the shir and say, Adarabba, you tell me. And that way he'd get us involved, he'd get us thinking. He invited boys for Shabbos to his house in Borough Park. And we'd see a different type of Shabbos than in Teaneck or in Connecticut, where I grew up. He would tell us when it came to questions we had in learning. If you have a question during night Seder, until midnight, don't hesitate to call. After midnight, hesitate, then call. He was Masada Kedushin at many Talmidim Chasanas, and it was a show. It was a show under the chuppah. He would start joking around with the chasan and kala with each person as they came up to make a bracha, and you could hear it all over the microphone. My chasana, he did something very special. My Rebbe, Rabbanan Soloveitchik, was very sick already at the time, but insisted on coming to the chasana. His Rebbetzin, my Bubby's sister, was even sicker. She could not come. Baron insisted that he would be there, but he would not be Masada Kedushin. He was called up as Masada Kedushin, but we asked Rabbanan, what should we do? My father felt too nervous to be Masada Kedushin. So we mentioned to Rabbanan, maybe we can get Rabbi Braunspiegel. He said, yes. Apparently, Rabbi Braunspiegel was in Rabbi Aaron's shiur in 1962, that one special shiur, Bas B'cholov. At the time, Rabbi Braunspiegel was in Switzerland. I got married August 28th. I reached him. I got the number from Rabbi Kiva. And he flew back to JFK, switched planes to take a plane to LAX, Los Angeles. To the taxi to the chasana to be an assistant to help Rabbanan out. He helped out by taking care of the tznoi, taking care of the ksuba, taking care of the kiddushin, and then he danced. I'll get back to that. He took the red eye to JFK. Took a taxi straight back. August 26th was the first day of the new Zman, the first shiur. He started the shiur by saying, I came from Rabbi Mendelssohn's chasen. I was already a Rebbe in the high school. So in public, he called me Rebbe, Rabbi. The Mesiras Nefesh was incredible. I can tell you, I have very close friends who were not able to make it. They were Rosh Yeshiva here in the Yeshiva, and they had to say Shiva the first day of Yeshiva. Even my Shadchan, also Rosh Yeshiva here in the Yeshiva, left right after the Chuppah. He even stayed and danced. I don't know how he made it to the plane. Oh, how he danced. Every chasana. He would dance and dance and dance till he fainted. He did that at every Talmud's chasana. We all knew that when his hands went into the air into a certain position and he was starting to turn in circles, that was it. I said to one of my brothers-in-law, I said, stand behind him, he's about to fall. And that's exactly what happened. He danced until he fell. That's how he left the chasana. To go to the airplane. My problem was holding him. He went by himself on the plane. The first time I met Rabbi Wiener was in Rabbi Bransfield's house on Shabbos. Rabbi Bransfield was playing with one of the babies, must be one of the older children, and didn't realize it at the time, but he hurt his back. He came into Shir Sunday morning in tremendous pain. He had to be carried back to the car. I don't know how he drove home. When he got home, I was told he got down on the floor. They called Hatzalah. Apparently, he had a slip disc. Very painful. He was out of yeshiva for a few days. We were learning Palgin and Zibura at the time. It was February. And then he came back to yeshiva, and the yeshiva had installed in room 103 a couch. A couch. And a microphone. And he gave shir lying on the couch with the microphone for about a month. It was so important for him to teach the Talmidim. I used to ask a lot of questions in shir. Somebody reminded today, once told me, my second name is Pesach, you only allowed four kashas a shir. It wasn't easy. But most years he called me the Baruch Sheomer. I'm sorry, Rabbi Simon. Imre Baruch. When he was on the couch, he was facing one direction. I was on the other side. So I'm raising my hands in vain, trying to get his attention. I have to go out, Rebbe, Rebbe. He says, oh, now you're really the Baruch Sheomer. I can't even see you. It was just one display of his tremendous sense of humor. At the end of each semester, you have a bechina. I have the bechina handwritten, the original bechina. I took it on Sanhedrin, and it was the first year that you heard from the Rav. Rashi, Gazlonim, Kofer, Bepikodin, the Mishasholach Boyad, Havi Gazlan, Mahakushi al Rashi, the Eich Tiritz Hagrid Shlita. That was the first question of the bechina on Sanhedrin. He would then hand out the test booklets and the tests and then say, I'm going into the Beis Medrash now. When you finish the Bechina, hand me the booklet and I'll ask you what you're going to be doing over intercession. Rebbe's leaving the room during the Bechina. There are a lot of people in the room. People could cheat. So he said, I believe in the honor system. I have the honor. I hope you have a good system. I'll never forget the levaya of the first Rebbetzin, where he said in his hesped, "In Isha Mesa El Levay Lo," and then he said, "I feel so alone," and the whole place started crying. But somehow, on the last day of Shiva, he got up from Shiva, and that day, he drove right to Yeshiva, and he gave shir. And no one was able to figure out when did he prepare. Most days, he came to shir, he had no notes whatsoever. And at the end of the shir, he would then tell us the Maror Mekomos by heart for the next day's shir, which apparently he was already prepared for. Most of us, after we were in the shir for some time, we went on to other shirim, other Rosh Yeshivas. And he would tell us, just like you come over to me every Thursday to wish me a good Shabbos, even after you leave the shir, you should wish me a good Shabbos on Thursday. So while we're in yeshiva, we wish him a good Shabbos, but then sometime either would go on in life, they wouldn't be around the yeshiva. He would tell us, still, you have to call before Shabbos, before Yom Tov. So I think many of us did. And whenever we used to call, he always asked the same three questions, just like the Gemara on Shabbos says, or the first three of the six questions were going to be asked at the end of our life. The first question was always, how is your parnasa? The second question was about, what are you learning? The third question was always about, so how many children do you have now? What grade is each one in? Where is each one holding? Sakta Piriviriviya. He loved his Talmidim. As the Rambam says, Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perkei Halachin Beis, the Rebbe must love his Talmidim, and he did. He knew his mission, and it had an effect on the Talmidim. In Sefer HaMitzvahs, Mitzvah Vav, when a Talmud is close to a Rebbe, he tries to emulate his actions. And to believe in the truth of the words that he says, he wants to give over to us a Mesorah and Hashkafa as well. He will tell us, for example, you don't have to dress in black and white, but don't dress like a truck driver. Ben Torah has to dress like a Ben Torah. Socializing for the sake of socializing is asur. Only shidduchim for marriage is permitted. And if you have any questions, I'll bring my camel. That's an inside joke for the Talmidim who heard that shmuz. His vehicle for presenting this was the 15-minute parsha shir on Thursday, where there was a consistent theme that he emphasized. You always have to have intellectual honesty. In 2002, an opportunity arose to open his own yeshiva under a model that he called Torah Parnasa, which fit his hashkafa very well. And for 12 years, he built up his yeshiva. Over this time period, I kept up with him until he was too unwell to respond. And then I kept up with the third Rebbetzin, Mamish, until the end. I called her Motzei Shabbos, and she told me that the Rebbe passed away. During COVID, I was teaching my shir in the high school lunchroom. Those of you who know what it looks like, it's a big room. I had 36 talmidim in masks, 6 feet apart. And I got to a sugya with the kasha that I had on Iran, and my note said that I had asked Rabbi Brandspiegel, years after I was in his shir, I had asked Rabbi Brandspiegel this kasha, and I had written down his answer. So an inspiration hit me. I took out my phone, I called the Rebbetzin, I said, please put the phone near his ear. I'm about to say over Torah that I heard from him. He should know, we haven't forgotten him, we haven't forgotten his Torah, we can say over his Torah. So I repeated the Gemara, and I repeated the Ran, and my Kasha, and his Teretz, and then I sat down in the room, and I just started crying. And 16-year-old kids, they can't understand why I was so emotional. And then the Rebbetzin said on the phone, which was on speaker, that he nodded, and he smiled. And at the shiva, Rebbe Fol told me, his son, that to the family it was like a yontif that day. He hadn't had such a positive response to anything in years. Rebbe Brandspiegel used to tell us that when he used to visit Rav Yashaber during his final illness, Rav Yashaber would be saying over Rambams about the Avoda and the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. And you saw what the Rav was really about. Similarly, we saw here what the Rebbe was all about. Learning Torah and teaching it to Talmidim. Rav Brandspiegel Zatzal was a man with a mission to teach Talmidim. He inspired so many of us to learn Torah, to be medactic b'mitzvahs, and to become Marbitzei Torah. About him, I think it is fair to say, mission accomplished. Yehi zichro baruch. Thank you very much.